Across the nation, our cities and towns are faced with an uncomfortable problem: men and women with mental illness living in the streets. It's a problem that many would rather ignore, but our next guest had questions. Just who are these people? What happened in their past that led them to be homeless? And what can be done to help this group that society often overlooks?
To find answers to these questions, he spent 2 years on the street meeting and talking with homeless people with mental illness, and he's written a book that combines their stories with photos in an attempt to give them a voice.
Joining us now is Dr. Robert Okun. He is a practicing psychiatrist, professor, and former state commissioner of mental health for Vermont and Massachusetts. His new book is Silent Voices: People with Mental Disorders on the Street. Dr. Okun, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about how the project got started. As you write in the book, it was a project that you'd been thinking about for a long time, just wondering who these people were, and it morphed from the concept of just talking to them into a book. Tell me about that.
Well, when I was chief of psychiatry at San Francisco General Hospital, I saw a lot of these people because they came to the hospital. It's a public hospital. And I got to know them from a clinical point of view, but I always longed to learn about them from a more human point of view, what their lives were like, how they survived the streets, what their struggles were, how they actually managed the things that we just take for granted, like if they suddenly had to go to the bathroom, well, there was no bathroom around. What did they do? How did they change their clothes? What did they do when they wanted to take a shower? How did they get out of the rain? And then something about their feelings, what their joys were, what their frustrations were. Did they have regrets? How did they view their future? I really wanted to get to know them from the inside as human beings.
And so basically, and I don't want to simplify this more than I should, but basically you just walked up to people and started talking to them.
Yes, I did. I just decided there was no other way to do this except to actually walk up to them and ask them whether they would be willing to talk to me. And at first I was almost certain that people would turn me away because... Now, in a way, I was the person with the tin cup asking something from them rather than the other way around. And I expected them to just tell me to go away. I thought they might fear that I was exploiting them or being too intrusive, getting too close to them, and so on and so forth. But surprisingly, about 70% of these people were willing to talk to me, and not only willing to talk to me, but talk to me in a deep kind of way about their inner feelings. And not only that, they were willing to have me record the talks that we had and also photograph them.
And those photographs and some of the discussions wind up in your book, and it makes for some very interesting, and I have to say, very varied reading. I mean, these people are as widely diverse as you can think of. They come from all backgrounds. They've had all manner of experiences, and yet they are all homeless. They are all living on the street.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They can't be categorized, you know, with some kind of simplistic generalization. You know, they're as different as anybody else's.
Hello, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so they're very different. So how did you approach each interview? How long did it take, for example, to get to know a person before you sort of told them who you were? Did you lead with that or try to?
I led with that. I went up to them and I'd say to someone, "Excuse me, sir, could I talk to you for a moment?" And you know, generally they would say yes, puzzled by the approach because most people don't talk to them. And then I told them that I was engaged in a project, writing a book about people who had obviously struggled in their lives, and that I wanted to give those people a voice, because generally they were so voiceless in society and so politically powerless that I wanted to try to do something to destigmatize them. And most of them said, yeah, we'll talk to you. And I said, but I'll really be talking to you about your lives and your feelings. Are you sure you want to talk to me? And that didn't put anybody off.
Now, part of this book is focused on the mental illness aspect of this. How many, in terms of a percentage of the of people who are living on the streets, what do you estimate that percentage is mentally ill?
Well, there have been a lot of studies done of this, and I would say about a third of the people on the street are mentally ill, and then maybe another 15% have substance abuse disorders primarily.
And so could you give us the story of one or two of the people who really stuck with you? I mean, there are a lot of stories in your book and a lot of photographs and a lot of really graphic and disturbing stories, but a couple of them that really, at the end of this book, they just sort of leap out at you as stories that need to be heard.
Well, it's hard to choose because they, as you said before, they are so different. But one person that stands out in my mind was a man who as a boy had a very mentally ill mother who at times chased him around the house with a knife in her hand, and he always worried that she would one day lose control and kill him. He grew up, luckily he had a father who was much more stable. He grew up and became a garbage collector and was incredibly proud of this. But a random urine screen showed that he had a little pot in his urine. I mean, just a tiny bit, but it was enough for them to fire him. He got depressed after being fired and then began retreating and tried to treat himself with street drugs to overcome his depression. But the street drugs, of course, got the better of him. And he began becoming more and more reliant on them until he couldn't even begin to leave his apartment except to get drugs, and ultimately lost whatever economic foundation he had. And within a few months, he was out in the street. It just happened, you know, bang, like that. A reverse depression, going to drugs, and then out on the street. And once he was on the street, he couldn't pull himself out. He was on the street for 10 years. He slept on top of a heating grate, getting rained on and blown on and so on and so forth, stoned all the time. As he said to me once, you either have to be stoned or crazy to survive on the streets. And then one day he was hospitalized after getting an infection of his heart, and a program that I had helped develop approached him, and a social worker in that program said she would help him, and she helped him get on SSI. She helped him, which is the Social Security income supplement, in essence, like welfare support, helped him get housing, but he still couldn't get off drugs. And it was only after the social worker and I took him to an animal shelter and got him a kitten that really helped him with his loneliness that he was able to get off drugs. He's now working.
We've only got about a minute or so left, but I wanted to ask, you know, one of your goals with this book was to give these people a voice. Do you think that you were able to accomplish that?
Well, I do. I think each of these people in their own narrative speaks for themselves. And I think that it would be hard to read these stories without coming to the conclusion that these people, underneath their rags and behind their strange talk and strange gestures, are human beings like the rest of us, with joys and frustrations and dreams, and deserve much better than society has been giving them. It is relatively easy to deal with the problem of homelessness. It just needs the political will and the funds that follow that to implement that.
Well, Dr. Okun, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for interviewing me.
Dr. Robert Okun is the author of Silent Voices, People with Mental Disorders on the Street.